It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
All right, thank you very much, Brian Freeman. Welcome in to the Sports Objective Podcast. Wow, this is the brand new, the all-exciting podcast. This is the very first one, the inaugural one, the premiere, and we're so excited to have you. I'm Dave Richmond, and I'm actually doing solo today. My broadcast partner, Dave Shepard, he actually told me to go on and do the show. He's actually what he calls on injured reserve, so he'll be with us in a few weeks. In the meantime, we're going to go on, as he would say, the show must go on. And boy, do we have a show for you today. We have with us from Hoist the Colors. It's actually from 247sports.com, from CBS. Hoist the Colors is a East Carolina Pirates message board. It's a site with a lot of news and lots of great commentary. Steven Igo, who he's actually the host of that and creator of that, and he's going to be with us today. Lots of other great stuff. We have a top five today for John Hughes movies. We've got a review of Field of Dreams. It's been in the news this week, and we were going to talk about it anyway. The great movie from Kevin Costner from 1989. And we have the fan of the week, Kenneth White. We'll be telling you about that and so much more. But first, we have our opening arguments brought to you by Jason Williams, attorney at law. In fact, if you're looking for family law, maybe criminal law like misdemeanors and felonies, traffic tickets, social security disability, wills and estate planning, consumer law including fraud and illegal debt collection, and so much more, Jason Williams is in the Beaufort, Martin, Washington, Terrell, and Hyde counties of North Carolina, and you could give him a call at 252-948-0600. Again, 252-948-0600. Jason's located at 317 West 2nd Street in Washington, North Carolina, and you can go to jasonwilliamslaw.com. Opening arguments we're going to have each and every week is about maybe a big topic going on in the world of sports. And for me, there's been a big one with college basketball, the scandal that's been going on. We don't have a lot of time to talk about it, but I will say that we've got to clean up the game of college basketball in every way, including not only what's going on off the court, but also in the court. I've been watching a lot of college basketball. Well, I do that every year. And the game itself is just unbelievable. The officiating has got to get better. And what I mean by that is the calling of the game when it comes to the inside game. There's so many tugging and pulling of the jerseys. And, you know, many years ago, I was complaining about the style of play for the NBA. The NBA has gotten their act together. It's a much fluid, more free-flowing game that you can watch, and not trying to make it a college basketball versus pro basketball argument here. All I'm saying is that we need to have it where if we have to get five referees, I don't know what we have to do to clean up the game on the court, but that's certainly one thing. Also, the fact that I just want to say I'm a huge fan of college basketball, and you know what? We're going to have to look at many different things, including getting rid of the one-and-done rule. A lot of people have been talking about that. I agree strongly, and I don't know the commissioner of the NBA or the folks of the NBA Basketball Players Association, but let's get rid of the one-and-done. Do you think Kobe Bryant, how about Moses Malone back in the day, Kevin Garnett, how about LeBron James? Do you think they should have waited 1 year? If they're good enough, let them go ahead and go. But if you are good enough to go, that's fine. If you come to college, you stay for 3 years. With college football and baseball, they do the same thing. You can skip your senior season. Nobody would have a problem with that. And I think that that's something that would easily help the game. Also, let's give stiffer penalties to the runners and the agents who are going after these folks. And also, one of the ideas I have for college basketball is for when people talk about likeness and how much money they're making off the jerseys. I say this, all right, we're going to put your money in an account. They're going to give them a certain percentage of all the jerseys sold, maybe any of the programs, your likeness, whatever. Put it in an account. What you do is you simply say this. If you stay and you graduate from this university, then all the money that we've set aside for you for your jersey sales, then you'll get that money after you graduate. I think that would be good for college basketball. I think that would be good for, let's see that these kids actually, not only that they get a college education, but think about that. I have no problems with the players getting money, but after after the fact. I don't think they should be paid during the I have no problems with the college of attendance. I think that the amount of money for the stipend, I think I have no problem with that. But what I want to say is paying the players, if you think things are bad now, just wait till you start paying players and changing the definition of what an amateur is. There's a reason we have pro basketball and we have amateur and college basketball. And I'm not a lawyer. I know our good friend David Glenn is a lawyer, so I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But anyway, that's what I have to say about the opening arguments. And if you have your comments, you can obviously email us, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. We'll be glad to take your that, and we'll be talking later in the show where we have where we're going to take your questions and comments in a segment. And again, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. We're so glad to have you. Each and every week, we're going to have a different show for you. Lots of great people on here. Lots of great guests. Speaking of which, we have right now Stephen Igo from Hoist the Colors. From the Hoist the Colors, and we appreciate him very much. In fact, this great interview is brought to you by Veterinary Outpatient Clinic. That's right, Veterinary Outpatient Clinic in Greenville, North Carolina. They're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, 8 to 12 on Saturdays. And full disclosure that this is my mom and dad who run the business. They're located at 4747B North Carolina 33 in Greenville. You can give them a call at 252-758-0062. 252-758-0062. Make sure you call and schedule an appointment. Again, they're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturdays, 8 to noon. Call to get your appointment today at 252-758-0062. I'm telling you, I know he's my dad. He's a great veterinarian. Make sure you go to Veterinary Outpatient Clinic. Well, we had a chance to sit down with Stephen Igo of Hoist the Colors, and we're so excited to have him. And let's go to that interview right now. You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. I am Dave Richman, now with our very first guest. It's hard to believe we're finally here. We finally made it. I don't know if it's the big time, but certainly he is big time. Stephen Igo from Hoist the Colors. Stephen, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it and glad to be the inaugural guest on your show. I don't know if I'm big time, but glad to at least be a part of this thing.
You're definitely, I guess, guinea pig for the first. I wanted to ask you, first of all, a little about yourself and when people hear Hoist the Colors, it's obviously about pirates, so it's a specific kind of pirate, right?
Yeah, definitely all ECU pirates, and we've been doing it now with 24/7 Sports since 2012. I started independently in 2010 when I was actually a freshman at ECU. I grew up in Greenville, North Carolina. My parents were big Pirate Club members, and I just kind of grew up, reading some other sites, listening to radio, and realizing that ECU itself didn't really have a big online presence as far as media coverage, and at that time media was kind of taken off from an internet perspective. So I started Hoist the Colors, took a while to get it going independently, but then in 2012 we signed on with 24/7 Sports, which kind of launched us with a legitimate national network, and we've been growing ever since, and I think it's a a lot to be proud of and a good place for Pirate fans to call home.
Full disclosure, I am an East Carolina grad, and I was looking for a home, and I found the home in December 2016, to be exact, with Hoist the Colors. I want to give the opportunity now for folks listening, and they don't know about Hoist the Colors. I know that you did a great promotion for folks, but I know you also do a 30-day trial, right?
Yeah, we do. We always have some sort of free trial, whether it's 30-day, 7-day, depending on the time of year. A lot of people, make a comment, hey, why should we pay to read articles? And I look at it, well, it's basically an online newspaper. You have to pay to subscribe to a newspaper, and I think we do a great job of covering things that other media outlets maybe don't do, whether it's TV, other internet sites that just have a message board. We offer both a message board, content, we're on there, boots on the ground, so to speak, covering baseball, football, basketball, recruiting. We cover it from every angle, and I think it's just you get everything in one. You get to interact with the community. For people who haven't given it a shot yet, I encourage you to just at least give it a free trial. If you don't like it, if it's not your thing, you can cancel and you won't get charged. So, I mean, it's I don't know why you wouldn't at least try it out.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that are Pirate fans that maybe don't know about it. Yeah. I stumbled across it myself. I didn't have any friends I knew about it. And all of a sudden, now that I'm on Hoist of Colors, I know there are friends that are actually on Hoist of Colors, and I didn't even realize it. But I know there's different ways that people can come to the site.
Yeah, we go through all social media channels. I mean, we mainly use Facebook and Twitter, but we're also on Instagram. So I think people kind of find us about in any different way. You know, Google, obviously, like yourself, can kind of lead you to Hoist the Colors and 24/7 Sports. And one of the best things about it, too, is, you know, if you're part of the 24/7 Sports Network, which is what we work under, which is owned by CBS, for a certain amount of time, then you get access to other sites. So if you like following other teams, like reading up about inside info on other teams, you get access to all the teams on the network, and that's a lot to offer, even if you're just an ECU fan kind of looking to read other stuff as well.
I do that as well with the different teams. I know you cover the Panthers as well, right, for 24/7 Sports?
Yeah, so I cover the Panthers on the side, and you know, ECU's still my number one priority, but at least posting 4 to 5 articles on the Panther site per day. I try to get to Charlotte to cover, 3 to 4 games a year in person, and obviously do a lot of stuff this time of year with the draft and free agency. So it's a lot. It's a big workload, but I enjoy it for sure.
I was going to ask you, is it a lot of caffeine, or when do you sleep? I've always wondered that, but not only with East Carolina, but when you add the Panthers in, does your wife ever get to see you?
Yeah, you know, she's a hairdresser, so she works long hours as well. So we don't see each other as much as we probably need to. But, you know, luckily we do spend a lot of time together when we do get the chance. And caffeine is definitely a big thing. I tried to get away from drinking sodas this past year, but then once signing day comes and all this starts to wrap up into one, it's hard to stay away from it, just to stay focused all day. But it's a lot to write, because you got to stay focused and concentrated on a specific thing that you're doing. But I enjoy it. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Just wait till you become a parent, and then your caffeine will be your friend. Speaking of caffeine, I know that there's going to be February is changing a lot. Not only the signing day, that's it's the de facto signing day now, but also coming up now, something interesting, a new wrinkle for us this year. Baseball is always starting about the same time this year in February, but also when you look at the football spring practice, is new this year, right?
Yeah, so usually they start at mid-March, and now they're starting it in mid-February, and it's basically moving it up an entire month. Scotty Montgomery, the head coach, is kind of following a growing trend in college football. It's not the most rare thing in the world. You know, Duke, NC State, North Carolina all started in February last year. And I think it was just a matter of time. They've been talking about it since he took the job at the end of 2015 to move it up, you know, to give players more time to recover from a potential season and an injury in February. Also, the retention rate from the end of the previous season to the, you know, practice in February isn't as, you know, the period isn't as long, so the retention rate is greater, is at least the thought process. So I have mixed feelings on it, with so much overlapping in terms of coverage personally, but you know, I can see it from ECU's perspective. I also do think, you know, there's going to be a lot of cold practices. ECU doesn't have an indoor facility, and how will that maybe affect the quality of practice they have, per se?
And I want to talk about, so people can keep listening to this podcast, about the future of East Carolina athletics. We'll talk about that a little bit later. One of the big stories came out recently was with Gardner Minshew leaving. That was a total shock. I was telling you, I was looking at my computer, and I look up, and I literally read the screen 2, maybe 3 times that he's leaving the program, maybe temporarily or permanently. That makes spring practice, what we were talking about before we came on the podcast, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there was already a lot of intrigue with it, and now there's even more intrigue. I mean, you know, to give you an idea of just the Minshew thing, I've got a lot of sources around ECU football, and usually most of them are in the know. You know, they'll give me a heads up when something like that is coming. But one of my good friends, who's just, you know, a guy living in Raleigh, texted me, hey, Gardner Minshew's gone. I'm like, no, he's not. What are you talking about? No, man, it's all over Twitter. So I had no idea it was coming. A lot of people in the program didn't. So that kind of sent shockwaves throughout the whole team. Even guys who were working out with him didn't know. So. But now just the intrigue of the quarterback battle, because you have some unknown there. Will Gardner Minshew be back down the line? We don't know. But now you have basically a 3-man battle between Reed Herron, a sophomore, Kingsley Effetti, a redshirt freshman, and Holton Ahlers, the true freshman that everybody probably knows about by now. And I expect all of them to get first team reps because combined they've thrown one pass in a legitimate game. And, you know, Heron's the only guy who's seen game time. So we'll see what happens. There'll be a lot of intrigue, a lot of interviews, and a lot of talk for sure.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's definitely, I think that when they say wrestling is a male soap opera, I think sports, and that's actually a good thing for you, because if you didn't have anything to talk about, we wouldn't have a podcast with you right now, and there wouldn't be a website and so forth. The spring practice, by the way, folks, is February 19th, and the last practice is March 24th. The purple and gold scrimmage, spring game, if you will, is March 24th. It's my daughter's birthday, Mackenzie. I was hoping to be there, but I can't miss my daughter's birthday party. That would not go over well with the wife or with my daughter.
No, so I don't blame you there. And, you know, we were kind of talking off the air before this. You know, I don't think you really miss a lot when you don't come to a spring game, but I will say this year, you know, with the Minshew situation being what it is, with ECU football being what it is, it's going to be more of an intrigue than past years. So, but you're right. You got to take care of your daughter, and I don't think your family would be too happy if you chose football over that.
It's also a combined birthday for my son and daughter. Their birthdays are a year and 4 days apart, so we have a one birthday party. It's a lot cheaper that way, for sure. And I can always read on Hoist the Colors about all the after the fact. I can keep up with it that way.
Yeah, I mean, we cover each practice, not only even the purple gold scrimmage, but you know, part of the reason we offer the VIP subscription is because we're out there every day. A lot of TV stations will go out there for the first practice, maybe go once a week. We're out there every single day. The first 30 minutes of practice, it's open to the media, taking pictures, doing observations about what's going on, who's looking good, kind of give you an in-depth look into the program. And then obviously the spring game, everybody will be there to cover it. A lot of people will see it, but we'll kind of react to it, give you our analysis and thoughts, maybe a little deeper than some would.
For me, growing up, and we'll get to maybe that at some point, but my favorite sport, I'll just be full disclosure, is probably number one would be basketball. The only reason I love college football is because moving to East Carolina and going to my first game in 1986, but we'll talk about it at a later time. Next up, I want to talk about the basketball coaching search. That has been close to my heart. I didn't see the with Michael Perry and all the stuff that's been going on, and Jeff Lebo has did a lot for East Carolina. I know there were some fans not happy or whatever, but what are you hearing right now? There's two schools of thought, if you will, an up-and-comer or a retread. And what do you think about I know I've heard from both sides. I'm talking to people in the program. One in particular said they'll probably go for an up-and-comer. I don't know that to be the case. Reading on there's a lot of people, rumors and innuendos, of course, a message board. But what do you think?
You know, I can see both sides of it. I think from what I've heard, Jeff Confort, the athletics director, really wants to make a splash hire to kind of win the press conference, so to speak. You look at ECU athletics right now as a whole, there's not really a lot of momentum from top to bottom. And I think making a big-name hire, whether it's the right one or not, would establish some momentum. We've heard names like Tom Crean and Mark Gottfried. I still – you know, I'm hesitant to believe the Tom Crean stuff. I know his people have at least shown interest in the job, but, you know, you got to remember ECU is the only job available right now. So how will that change once the end of the season comes and there are other jobs available? It's completely possible the coaching candidates out there who aren't currently employed are looking to, you know, take any job or show interest in any job. So you have to keep that aspect in mind. As far as the up-and-comer versus, you know, established name, if you get the right up-and-comer, I think it could be a home run hire. You know, I look at a guy like Earl Grant from College of Charleston as somebody who I really like, studied under Greg Marshall, Brad Brownell. He's turned around College of Charleston, which was in a bad situation when he got there. Steve Forbes from East Tennessee State. I mean, there's a lot of names out there. It's not like college football where there's only 130 teams. NCAA basketball, you got 300-plus teams to choose from. So My preferred option is definitely head coach experience, and to get somebody who's turned around a program before and can sell the program here. You don't want somebody who's just coming here to collect a paycheck. You want a guy who's going to be a salesman for the program, because ECU needs it in the worst way.
I've been suffering as a basketball fan, and I'll tell you this, Roy. I was actually there as a student at East Carolina when we went to the NCAA tournament. In March of 1993, almost 25 years ago, okay? And I can tell you, as one media person to the next, I didn't think it was going to be 25 years later. I was one of the lucky 50 kids right behind, in fact, right behind Carolina was warming up. And I was really proud of the Pirates. I really thought that, oh, God, we're going to get blown out of the gym. This Carolina team is really good. I didn't know at the time they'd win the national championship. But, man, oh, man, we came close that day.
Yeah, at that time I was 1 year old. So that's how long it's been since ECU has been to the NCAA tournament. So I'm with you, man. As somebody who now covers the team, I would love to get the chance to cover an NCAA tournament game one day. Four or five years ago when Lebo was really kind of on the up and up, I was like, hey, you know, I might get to actually attend an NCAA tournament game one day, cover it firsthand. But now it just seems like they're as far away as ever. But I do think if they get the right hire, you know, you can offer a coach $1 million. And some people say, why would any coach want to come to ECU? This is a much better job now than what it was, you know, 5-10 years ago. And certainly before that, you can pay, you got a state-of-the-art practice facility, you're in a top-line conference, every game's on TV, there's a lot to sell. The tradition isn't there, but if you come here and win, you can get any job you want to in the country. I guarantee that. So we'll see what happens.
Especially when you think about North Carolina, even though as much as I love football and other sports, it really is a basketball state. You've got a lot of talent. I always say a gas tank away. And I know there's been folks on Hoist the Colors and different said, hey, for basketball, can we take a kid from Kinston every year? For football, can we take a kid from Havelock every year? I really believe there's a lot of talent out there. And you know what's great about basketball? With poor Coach Montgomery, he has to get his staff 20-25 guys. You only need about 4 or 5 guys for basketball. And with basketball, a couple guys can turn the whole program around.
Yeah, I mean, it takes – you know, if you get 1 or 2 elite players, you're pretty much set. And that's the great thing about basketball. That's why you have seen so many teams in the American Athletic Conference make a big-name coaching hire. You look at SMU, obviously, with Larry Brown. He's no longer there, but he brought in 1 to 2 recruiting classes, and they went from the basement to the top. So it's the same thing with Kelvin Sampson at Houston. They were pretty average before he took over. He gets a couple of big-time recruits. Now they're at the top as well. So, yeah, that's the good thing about it. And like you said, you look at the North Carolina classes for 2019 and 2020, not only North Carolina as a whole, but Eastern North Carolina, there's plenty of talent there. The current staff isn't recruiting them, so I'm hoping whoever gets hired gets on their – that's the thing, you don't even got to get on a plane. You just get in your van, get in your car, and drive 30 minutes up the road, and you can find good players.
Speaking of great players, I love the job of transitioning now to baseball. I can't believe baseball is already here. I'm like, my head's spinning. I can't imagine, like, when you cover it 24/7, you're covering East Carolina 24/7. Baseball season's right around the corner. Cliff Godwin has done a tremendous job. He knows what it is to be a Pirate, a guy from Snow Hill. He played for the Pirates under one of the best coaches ever, and Keith LeClair. I'm really excited. I was maybe we all got overexcited for last year, and things just seem to unravel with injuries. What are you thinking about this year for 2018?
Yeah, I think it's a much different feel, you know, a lot less hype, so to speak, but I think that's a good thing. I mean, we all know ECU sports. When there's a lot of hype, a lot of expectations, usually they fall flat on their face. So I think now that they're flying under the radar, some of that pressure will be off their shoulders. I do expect them to bounce back a lot. You know, Cliff has told me probably 4 or 5 times this offseason, you know, on and off the record, that them losing the championship game, the conference championship, was the best thing that could have happened to them last year. Because if they would have won, they would have just kind of stuck with the status quo. And obviously being able to lose, kind of reevaluate things from top to bottom, I think led to some changes in the offseason, led to the necessary developments that they've had. A lot of talent, more raw talent than they've ever had. They keep bringing in better recruiting classes, so they're getting better every year. Now it's just a matter of how it will all come together. There's a lot of top arms on the mound. I'm not sure exactly how it will all play out in the position. You know, in the field, they are replacing a lot of position players, but I think replacing them with better talent overall, just not experience. So if they struggle early in the year, I don't think people should panic. I think as the year goes along, as long as the pitching delivers, I think this team's a regional type of team.
I wrote in my notes, and I didn't write the second thing I should have written down, but pitching seems to be better listening to you and I know Cliff and all their different platforms, different radio stations. He's been on Pirate Radio and The Game and different ones and on Hoist, that the pitching is something, especially in baseball, it seems to be middle relief across the board. I'm not picking on East Carolina. Across the board, middle relief seems to be the toughest job for any pitching staff and any baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Major League Baseball, and those teams have a tough enough time finding enough quality arms to get you through the middle of a game. Most teams obviously have five starters and a couple setup guys and a closer, but college baseball, there's even less arms to go around, less proven arms to go around. So I do think the good thing is ECU has, you know, four to five guys with starting experience. They've got three guys with back of the bullpen experience, and they've got more guys that can fit in the middle, so to speak. And I think this year they added a bunch of left-handed guys, versatility across the board in the bullpen. So I think this year is as deep as ever. Now they got to stay healthy, and those guys actually have to pitch how they pitch in practice. Now they got to carry that into the game. So we'll see. It, you know, so much about college sports, you don't really know until you turn on the lights and see how the guys react. But I do feel much better about it this year.
Definitely, that's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to go to a lot of games with Cliff. And by the way, I want to ask you before I move on to my next thing, have you ridden in Cliff's cap?
I have not. No, I'm trying to make a guest appearance this year. I know Troy from Pirate Radio and LBR as well, but haven't ridden in it firsthand. I love the whole gimmick, though. It's awesome. The video, I think it's more of a hit than the actual games at times.
And I love Cliff because he actually gets on the, like they were talking on Pirate Radio last week about the fact he gets, or recently, about how he gets on the different students wearing, it should be East Carolina only.
Yeah, if you go to school at ECU, you're walking around ECU's campus wear an ECU sweatshirt or just wear a regular shirt. You know, I'm with it. I used to go to ECU, and I couldn't tell you the amount of people that wore, you know, UNC or state stuff around campus. So maybe his message will change some people's minds.
I hope so, and definitely I'd love to take that cap to Omaha in June. I know that's something he doesn't like to talk about this year. Want to move on to the future now. One of the things to start off about that part, the last part of our interview, is the Southside Project. I'm very excited about it. I'm a guy that come to East Carolina. I came as a fan in 1986 as a teenager. That press box desperately needed, I know they call it the double wide in the sky, desperately needed to be, like, gotten rid of. It was great in 1978, but we're now in 2018. I can't believe it's been 40 years that we had it. It's down. Now we're looking at the future, and should be all the whole Southside project should be ready for, I know, the fall of 2019, right?
Yeah, so 2019 season, there's a couple layers to the project. You know, Ward Sports Medicine Building, which some people don't know about. They're updating the football locker rooms, player lounge, add a new sports medicine center. So overall, I think that, to me, is one of the more important aspects of the project, because you look at the press box and the suites and all that is good. It'll look great aesthetically, but the players don't really get, you know, anything from that outside of maybe having a better recruiting tool, you know, from an image standpoint. But now that you're adding the player lounge, the football locker room, I think that's very important for the football side of it, for the fan experience. Yeah, I mean, that press box, the whole loge boxes, the suites, it's something that, you know, matches ECU fans' intensity and kind of gets them to an upper echelon level, I think, in fan experience. In terms of the American Athletic Conference, schools like Cincinnati have that, maybe a few places, at SMU as well. But overall, you go around the AAC, there's not too many, you know, elite-level premium seating experiences like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how that, you know, unfolds, and hopefully they can fill those seats as the product on the field gets better.
I definitely think the program has to get better. I guess the question is when. Most of the minds of Pirate Nation, I wanted to ask you, too, about one of the things I hear a lot, and you hear a lot because of voice. I hear people walking in my work where I work and, you know, just listening to people. It's kind of like you're a bartender. I don't know if you feel like that, but it's like you're a bartender. Whether you want to hear it or not, you hear about when the Pirates win, it's great. When they don't lose, I love when Brian Bailey says, if you're looking to get a loan and the Pirates have lost, you're probably not going to get the loan in town in Greenville. I love that line. As far as the Southside Project, what do you see afterwards? I'm a dreamer, as my wife would say. For what I want to see, and I'll say on the record right now, for being my alma mater, taking off my media hat as a fan and an alum, I want to see a plan. I want to see a plan to say that, okay, after the Southside Project, which is a big enduring, it's a huge task right now on the forefront of everybody's mind, what comes after 2019?
Yeah, I mean, that's an outstanding question, and I think something that largely depends on the leadership at ECU. You know, Jeff Confers talked about it. There's clearly been a lot of speculation about Jeff Confers' future in his position, given the results of his coaching change with football. A lot will ride on the basketball hire that he makes. But if this administration stays in place, you know, talking with Jeff Confers pretty recently, you know, he seems to think there's a number of options on the table in terms of facilities, you know, a new tennis court, a new indoor football practice facility. The academic space for athletes right now is as ancient as other things in Ward Sports Medicine Building that need to update. So there's plenty to choose from. But in regards to your comment about the plan, I agree that's important. Just to get something tangible, feasible out there that fans can see and say, hey, okay, we're working towards something, instead of just hearing all this stuff. I do think from talking with sources over there, that is the plan. Sometime this summer, I think you'll kind of see a 5-year, a 10-year plan be released from ECU, from both the Pirate Club and ECU Athletics Communications. And I think that's smart, because fans always want to give and, you know, make a further effort when they know what the end goal is. And I think ECU now is starting to work towards that. And hopefully it all works out for the best.
I want to ask you, too, when you say the indoor practice facility, I know folks on Hoist and other folks I've talked to said, hey, we can use that more than just the indoor practice facility for football. It could be a lot of other different, even non-revenue teams, right?
Yeah, that's something that I know when former AD Terry Holland was here, his big goal was to, you know, hey, let's maximize each space, each venue that we do for multiple sports. And that way you don't have to, you know, if you're pouring a ton of money into a certain thing, you want to maximize what you get out of it. And I think that's something they could look into if they choose to do the football practice facility. Obviously, you know, football, it's the cash cow. It should come first. They should get first dibs on everything that they want to use in there. But if you're going to put $15, $20 million into that facility, you got to get as much out of it as you can. You know, can baseball go in there and practice on a rainy day or some? I know they're going to have an indoor hitting cage themselves. You know, what can other sports do that play outdoors do in there? So it's certainly something to consider. And I think it, when you're a school like ECU that's not the richest in the nation, you have to be smart with your money and take advantage of those type of things.
No doubt about it. In fact, with the future being said and with all the different things going on with the fans, I know that one thing that comes to mind is we're going to try to have Philip Wood, the executive director of the Pirate Club, on for sure. One of the things I want to see, and I want to leave you with this, is the fact of some kind of fund we can have for, you know, when everybody says on Hoist or different places, hey, we don't have the money for a football coach, or we don't have the money for the assistants. I've heard rumors about Brady Hoke, and they didn't have the money for his assistants, so that's why he didn't come to East Carolina and didn't take the job back when right before Mo. But I wanted to ask, as far as that, is there something we can do, a fund that you know of that we could put to aside, kind of like what Central Florida did for Scott Frost, and we can say, hey, they're Pirate fans, you can give money towards that?
Yeah, you know, I would love to see it personally, because I think there's, you know, maybe not the biggest group of fans, but the diehards know how important it is for adequate funds to fund a coaching staff, because ECU right now is, you know, near the bottom half of the American Athletic Conference in terms of being able to pay their coaches, and you get what you pay for in a lot of cases. I mean, that's just the reality of it. If you want to hire a top-notch recruiter who's also a great position coach, he's probably going to go to somewhere that offers a little more money rather than ECU. So I'm hoping they can find a way to set that up, because I think that's one of the more underrated aspects of coaching anywhere. I think Scotty Montgomery has the potential to be a great head coach, but he's only as good as his assistants. There's been so much turnover there these past few years. It's hard for him to do his job when he's always worrying about the assistants and, you know, them doing their job. So, you know, you got to make that a priority at some point. That's part of the falling out that happened between Ruffin McNeil and Jeff Confers. You know, Ruffin wanted to get more salary for his assistants. It didn't happen. So he ended up not signing a long-term contract that would have kept him in place. Instead, he got fired at the end of the season. So that's been a never-ending battle. And if you could fix it with some type of fund like that, that would be ideal. I don't know the exact process of, you know, going into that and setting it up, but you know, if you're Jeff Confers and you're trying to win over fans, something like that, the mindset of trying to create something like that would certainly make a lot of sense.
I want to give fans a chance once again. We're talking to Steven Igo from Hoist the Colors. tell folks where they can go. And I want people, if you get a chance, even if you're not a Pirate fan, you got to check out 247sports.com with all the different teams, but especially with East Carolina, and see the work Steven does.
Yeah, so go to, you know, hoistthecolors.net or ecu.247sports.com. They both take you to the same place. And again, you know, sign up for the free trial. If you missed our big offer earlier in January, now we're still running a free trial, and you can kind of get the experience of what it's like to see spring football every day, the ins and outs of it, the, you know, spring practice reports, some photos, some video work from practice. And it's something you won't find from any other website, I don't believe, that covers ECU. And I think you'll be really excited with what we have, even if you don't choose to stick with us. But, yeah, and also we have a free side of the site, too. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. You know, probably half of our articles and our message board posts are free, and you don't have to be a paying subscriber to read that stuff as well.
Well, Steven, I know it's February, and here I'm going to be drinking a lot of coffee, a lot of caffeine. Good luck to you covering both, I know, with the football spring practice and with baseball season and basketball, still a month left. Thank you so much for spending the time with me. I've had a lot of fun meeting you and talking to you.
Yeah, David, anytime, man. Anytime you want me back, I'll be glad to rejoin you. Appreciate it, and good luck with your podcast.
Thank you very much, Steven, for a great job. And we wanted to play the interview, by the way. The interview was recorded at the beginning of February. I know it's a month later. We're going to have Steven back on. He agreed to come back on in about a month or two and recap everything that went on with a lot of, with baseball, and we'll do with the coaching search. And anytime there's any kind of breaking news with sports, we'll try to do an emergency podcast if we can. Certainly when it comes to teams in North Carolina and surrounding areas, but certainly anytime there's big breaking news, we'll try to do more than just our usual weekly podcast for sure. Right now it's time for a great thing. In fact, we're going to go to the movies now. Field of Dreams, we're going to be talking about that in just a second. In fact, our movies, spotlight on the movie for sports movies is brought to you by First Class Limousine and Rocky Mount. I know there's a lot of weddings going on. There's a lot of proms coming up. Maybe you have a special date, an anniversary for that significant other, your husband, your wife, or birthdays, or maybe you're going to be like us. We're actually First Class Limousine. It's a great business owned by Michael Davis. He's a good friend of mine. It's a 5-star service. In fact, they say it's not where you go, it's how you get there. Stick with the best. They are the best. And Mike has been a friend of mine for about 10 years. He helped us with a Taylor Swift concert many years ago in Tarboro, and I appreciate his help. And he's done a lot of stuff with a station I was working on there at the time in Rocky Mountain. He's a great guy. Again, you can call them if you have, you're looking for any kind of help. He's helping us out in August. We're going on a cruise. He's going to drive us to the airport and then back. And we've always looked out to look for him for great service. And he's second to none. Make sure you call him right now at 252-883-5120. Call him now, 252-883-5120. You can just Google First Class Limousine. The website is firstclasslimousine.net. Make sure you check it out for First Class Limousine service of Rocky Mount, my good friend, Mike Davis. All right, Field of Dreams. There's been a lot of controversy this week. Jeremy Blevins, the relief pitcher of the Mets, we're not going to take up a lot of time. He says it's not a great movie. Ironically, we're going to talk about our very first show reviewing a movie, a sports movie. This particular case, Field of Dreams, came out in April of 1989. I think it was April 21st, to be exact. This particular place is Dubuque County, Iowa, Dyersville, the Dyersville area, a few miles outside, I think, of the town. And by the way, if you want to go there, I think it's for those folks in Chicago or certain areas, I read it's like 3.5 hours from Chicago. But anyway, Field of Dreams, moviesite.com. The actual screenplay was written based on a book by W.P. Kinsella. It's called Shoeless Joe. The film lasted 14 weeks during the middle of a drought in Iowa, the summer of 1988. In fact, they had for this home site of Field of Dreams, their first visitors, May 5th, 1989. I love the movie. I think it's great. It's one of the best sports movies of all time. Of course, a classic line, if you build it, they will come. It's part of the American lexicon, right? A lot of people say that today with a business. If you build it, they will come, or various topics. Kevin Costner, of course, the great actor, played Ray Kinsella. James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader and the voice of CNN, was Terrence Mann. Amy Madigan She played the wife of Kevin Costner, Annie Kinsella. In fact, she is actually married to Ed Harris Jr. Let's see. Also, Ray Liotta was Shoeless Joe Jackson. And there's so many more great stars in there. How about Burt Lancaster, too? Archie, Doc Graham. I mean, there were so many great people in there. A great film, as always. And we hope that you'll get... By the way, it's on Netflix right now. So if you have Netflix, Field of Dreams, check it out. It's one of the best sports movies all the time. In fact, I would have it definitely in my top 10, maybe even my top 5 sports movies of all time from 1989. Nominated for Best Picture. In fact, it was up against Driving Miss Daisy. And for people, I'm not throwing shade at Driving Miss Daisy when I say this, but I thought Field of Dreams should win the Best Picture. And I love Driving Miss Daisy with Morgan Freeman and Jessica Tandy, so don't get me wrong. I hope that you don't misunderstand me, but that's how much I love Field of Dreams. Very, very much a great film. Something we're going to do each and every week. Normally we'll have a co-host with us, so we'll be able to banter back and forth. But our very first one, we're solo this week. And wanted to let you know about the different topics, the different things we're going to be doing each week. A sports movie this week, Field of Dreams. What do you think about Field of Dreams? You can go to our Facebook page. Maybe you can tell us, what is your favorite movie? You can just like the sports page. Sports Objective Phase. By the way, we're on Twitter. You can follow us at the Sports OBJ. OBJ is in capitals, so you can find out about that. Facebook, Twitter. We also have a website, thesportsobjective.com, and so much more. Make sure you tell your friends about us. A lot of people don't know where you can find the podcast. Tell them you can go to Apple, Stitcher. We're adding all different places where you can go, but those are the two big ones right now that people can find us. Apple Podcast, you can go there and give us a 5-star rating. We love that. It helps with, we have a lot of fine sponsors, but of course we can always use more. And that leads us to our next segment, which is going on to the top five John Hughes movies. We're getting ready to talk about that. If you're a big fan of the 1980s or John Hughes, then you stay with us. By the way, top five is brought to you by Dana's Global Travel. Are you like me and you're kind of burnt out? It's been a terrible winter for a lot of us. No matter where you live in our great country, the United States, it has not been a lot of fun, especially our friends in the Midwest and certainly in the Northeast. We feel your pain because even in the South, where we're located in the Greenville, North Carolina area, it's certainly been not a lot of fun. We have Dana's Global Travel. Dana Shrink is one of my really good friends. She's my personal travel agent. Are you looking for that great vacation, that great getaway? Maybe you have an anniversary, a birthday coming up. Are you looking for that summer vacation? Well, do I have a friend to tell you about? Dana Shrink is danasglobaltravel.com. danasglobaltravel.com. Go there. She's a full travel agent. She has a full travel agency, and she specializes in honeymoons, family, and group travel. She has over 10 years experience. She's been our travel agent for over 6 years now. Excellent. The great thing about Dana that I can say is she's going to look out for you every step of the way. She's not going to give you that fast talk and promising you these really great rates, only to find out later that you had to pay several hundred dollars more. No, she's going to give you the upfront cost right then and there. I don't like those kind of surprises. I love surprises, but certainly make sure you check out danasglobaltravel.com and you can give Dana a call. In fact, she says, don't just dream it, do it. Call her now at 919-830-4161 for Dana's Global Travel. I love this next segment, the top five. How about the top five John Hughes movies? Each and every week we're going to do this. You can give your thoughts on our Facebook page or Twitter on your favorite top five that we have each week. This week is John Hughes movies. And for me, I have to go with Vacation. Let's see, with Chevy Chase. National Lampoon's Vacation, really one of my all-time favorite. How about 16 Candles? I love Molly Ringwald. Breakfast Club is another one of my all-time favorites. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of the reasons why I've always wanted to go to the Windy City, Chicago. And I love Uncle Buck as well. There's a lot of other ones that I want to list. My buddy Dave, that's not with us on injured reserve, I know he had a lot of the same ones with me with Vacation, and I know he loved Uncle Buck as well, and probably even Ferris Bueller. Another one he mentioned was Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with John Candy and Steve Martin. I absolutely love that one as well, and it's one of my favorites. So also our producer Joe Griffin, I know he had a lot of the same ones. It was his idea for the top five this week for John Hughes movies. So I want to give him a shout out, our great producer, Joe Griffin Jr. And he's going to be with us from time to time. You'll hear him on this great podcast. But if you have any ideas for the top five, you can actually just email us, and you can do so by emailing me personally, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. Maybe you have questions, comments. You can actually give your top five there of the week, or maybe you have ideas for a top five. We'll also include with this podcast. The great thing about it is we're going to take a lot of input and feedback. Maybe there's segments that you want us to do, or maybe you don't like certain segments, then you can give us feedback at davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. That's a great segue for the next up, because next up we want to remind you about the TSO, the Sports Objective Inbox. And that's actually brought to you by North Carolina Premier Investigations. You know, growing up as a kid, I used to love Magnum PI and all the different PI and Rockford. Rockford Files was growing up with some of my favorite TV shows. Well, one of my really good friends from high school, Suzanne Cerny Creech, has a business. It's called North Carolina Premier Investigations. It's a veteran-owned business. Suzanne was in the Army right after a year or so after high school. She was there. Give her a call at 252-341-2469. Call her now, 252-341-2469. She's licensed by the North Carolina Private Protective Services. And get this, they do everything. In fact, if maybe you have a cheating spouse, maybe you're looking for any kind of civil investigations, criminal investigations, child custody, domestic investigations I was just talking about, process service, GPS tracking, witness interviews, executive protection, and so much more. Give Suzanne a call right now at 252-341-2469, and we're proud to have her a part of the podcast. And again, each and every week, we don't have right now any emails or comments, suggestions, but again, you can simply go very simply just to email us, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. Again, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. Well, another great thing, too, that we're going to do each and every week is a social media sports topic. If you have any ideas, speaking of davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com, you can go there and email us on any kind of sports topics. For me, I want to talk about get your opinion on this, the worst sports towns in America. What do you think the worst sports towns in America? Some people may say Miami. I've heard people say Atlanta. And we're not talking about hosting events. We're talking about their support of their professional teams when I talk about this. What about Los Angeles? They've lost, I know, a couple. They're getting teams back for pro football. But what do you think about Los Angeles in there? Maybe you think they are the best cities, and you can actually let us know, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com, or you can put you can go on our Facebook page and put your list of the worst sports towns, or maybe you can actually, for the ones we picked on just now, you can actually defend them. What are your worst sports towns? Go to our Facebook page and let us know. By the way, you can like our Facebook page. We love that. The Sports Objective, just search for that. Also, we're on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, so you can let us know about that as well. Appreciate that very much, as always. Appreciate everybody that's a part of that, the social media topic, and we're going to do that each and every week. So make sure by the way, you can email us. Let us know what your favorite sports topic is, and you can do so at davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. Well, right now it's time for Fan of the Week, brought to you by Russell's Hairstyling in Williamston. I've been going there to Russell's since 1985. I was 12 years old, and Kenneth White, he is my barber. He does a great job. Also, I want to say hello to Sarah Baker, the new owner of Russell's Hairstyling. Appreciate them being a sponsor. And you can call them at 252-792-5059. Ladies, you can get those summer highlights. Sarah does a great job. 252-792-5059. They're located at 1612 West Main Street in Williamston. Russell's Hairstyling. And appreciate them very much. Each and every week, we want to do a fan of the week. And so we thought we would have fun. Let's go now to that very fan of the week, the very first one. You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast here. And we're our very first inaugural one, fan of the week. where we actually have a chance for you, the fan, to spotlight. And I thought, why we should start with one of our very own sponsors, a really good friend of mine, since we haven't had a chance to promote this, and that's Kenneth White, who's at Russell's Hairstyling in Williamston. And I appreciate y'all being a sponsor. We're going to talk to you and Sarah later on. But Kenneth, thank you so much for being the very first fan of the week.
You're certainly welcome. Glad to be here.
Wanted to ask you about that very thing. Each time, each week, we're going to be spotlighting on a fan, and I just want to know the teams. Let's talk about the teams and how you became a fan of each of those teams. So I know that you're a diehard. Let's start off with the Dodgers, since they were the World Series. You're a diehard Dodgers fan.
I always have been, and I remember the days from Walter Alston to Tommy Lasorda and Steve Garvey and that crowd, and for some reason, I know I live on the East Coast, but I've always pulled for the Dodgers when everybody on the East Coast seems like they're Yankees or Braves fans, so I've stuck with them through all these years.
Kenneth is a barber, so if you ever want to definitely know when to get a good haircut, just don't come when it's a late night Dodgers game, right?
Yeah, kind of dragging the next day.
Or I know you're a big NC State fan, that 9 o'clock games are tough as well. But I wanted to ask, by the way, to give a little background on Kenneth, you've been cutting hair for a long time.
Started November the 15th, 1985. Went to barber school in Charlotte in 84. And got my license. I've been here ever since.
And at some point, we got to talk about what you can tell us about the Ric Flair stories, too.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the best persons I've ever met. He was entertaining. He done a lot for wrestling, or as I call it, sports entertainment.
And I want to ask you about also with the Redskins, how long have you been a fan?
Since probably the Billy Kilmer, Sonny Jurgensen days and George Allen. I remember them. I might not look old, but I remember Sonny Jurgensen and Billy Kilmer and all that. So
I'm also a Redskin fan since the late 70s. Billy Kilmer was the very end of his era, if you will, and the start of Theismann when I started pulling for the Redskins.
That's true, because when you play for George Allen, you had to be old to play anyway.
I wanted to ask, tell fans, people listening right now, if they're in the Williamson area or wherever they are. I know you've got a customer here right now, so we want to cut it short. But where can people come to get a haircut?
You can come to Russell's Barber and Hairstyling. I'm here Monday through Friday, 7 to 6, except on Thursdays, 7 to 12. And we have two beauticians for the women and ladies that would like a color, highlights, or change style, whatever. Sarah and Laura Jo. They'd be glad to work with you.
And what's the phone number?
792-5059.
Kenneth White is our fan of the week here on the Sports Objective Podcast. Thank you very much, Kenneth White, who is the inaugural fan of the week. Of course, once again, you can go by and see the great folks at Russell's Hairstyling in Williamston. I appreciate them as being a great sponsor for Fan of the Week. It's been an interesting week, and certainly with all the things going on, including this week, is hard to believe that it's already March. The first week of March, and we have a lot of conference basketball tournaments. I'm very, very excited about the conference basketball tournaments because it gives you an opportunity to see a lot of great teams. And if you're a basketball fan, this is like the bowl season, I guess, for football. Now you have the basketball where you can just literally overdose with lots of great basketball from all different levels, all different conferences, men's and women's. And you have that going on for the next few weeks. I have to say that one of my true favorite moments of college basketball was when I was in 1993. It's been 25 years ago where North Carolina won the national championship. And in that year, the very first game they played East Carolina, had a chance to win a student lottery when I was at East Carolina, and won the lottery, one of 50 students to win, had a chance to go to Winston-Salem at Lawrence Joel Coliseum, and the Pirates did very well that day. I was very proud of them with Ike Copeland and a lot of Let's see, Lester Lyons and those and that crowd. Eddie Payne was the coach back then, and a great experience. Hard to believe that's been 25 years ago, and that the Pirates made it. In fact, they had to win three games. They had to win all three games of the Colonial Athletic Association tournament. Speaking of special tournaments, and they won all three. They beat Lefty Driesell. Those of you that know Lefty, who was a Maryland coach and was at James Madison, later Georgia State. He had a great run there in Harrisonburg and the Colonial Athletic Association, and they were their perennial favorite, especially that year. A lot of great players, and the Pirates at the time, I think, were 13-17. They were like something like that, four games under 500, and they made the tournament. I can't believe that it's been literally 25 years. I'm definitely getting older for sure. In fact, at the time, I was not even 20 years old. I was 19 at the time, getting ready to turn 20. And here I am next month, I'll be 45. So that tells you that definitely it's been 25 years for sure. And you know what? Hopefully the Pirates can get back to the dance, the big dance. And the big dance, we'll find out more this week where people are going. And, of course, we'll have our podcast next week. We'll talk about that for sure with the tournament being tournament time. I tell you one thing. I know that there's a lot of people maybe think Duke's going to win the whole thing. Who knows who's going to win the tournament? I tell you what, Virginia looks very good this year as well. I know Villanova's been good. So we'll just have to wait and see who's going to win the whole thing. You never know. It might be an underdog this year. That's what's great about college basketball, is that little underdog, the one with a Cinderella slipper, wins the whole thing. And, of course, when you think about six games, it takes a lot for a team like that to do it. But as Coach K, I know, says at Duke, it's really, if you think about it, it's 3 2-game tournaments. So you have three different weekends. And if you win the first weekend, then, of course, you make it the next weekend. If you win the next weekend, the third weekend's the Final Four. So if you break it right down, it's really 3 2-game tournaments for the NCAA tournament. I'm very excited about it. If you can't tell, college basketball is huge for me. Recapping the top of the show, we talked about, by the way, changes we can make in college basketball. Let me just say, I love college basketball, and I hope we can get it done and make the changes we need. What are the changes you think that we need to make to college basketball? You can email me at davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. You can actually go and like our page, by the way, on for social media on Facebook, like it, The Sports Objective. On Twitter, follow us at TheSportsOBJ, and we'd love to have you there. By the way, two-minute warning. A two-minute warning is brought to you by our good friends. In fact, one of my really good friends, Lawrence Tibbetts, LT. In fact, are you looking for a place to go in the Triangle, maybe for see a band or a club? Well, Bands and Clubs of the Triangle is a great Facebook page that he created. He's a sponsor of the show. Thank you, Lawrence. Thank you, LT, for helping us out there. And he's actually got a lot of great information on there. If you go there and like it, it would be great. In fact, if you're looking for something to do, no matter where you are, if you're close to the Triangle, I know that he can definitely help you out for sure. You know, I wanted to take the time with a couple minutes we have left to thank a lot of great people. I want to thank Brian Freeman, who's the voice of the show. Mark Arson, who came up with the logo, if you're looking for that. He came up with the logo and the name of the show. I want to thank him. I want to thank Bill Shannon, who helped out with production for our trailer and our promo. And I know he'll help us down the line for production as well. I want to send a shout out to my great broadcast partner, Dave Shepard. He's going to be a part of the show as well, so keep that in mind. He's on injured reserve, and we hope he's getting better. He's listening to us now and recuperating right now. And I know for sure that he'll get better. Again, if you have any suggestions for the show, we would love for you to email us, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. By the way, if you tell your friends, some people have, if you have an iPhone, you can just simply, all you have to do is get Apple Podcast, and you can download the show, subscribe, and give us 5 stars. It helps with sponsors. We already have a lot of sponsors we're grateful and appreciative for, but we, of course, want to have more sponsors as well. If you don't have an Apple iPhone, then, well, you can also go to other places like Stitcher as another great place to download, and you can tell your friends as well, and we love it. I've had a great time. I appreciate our great guest, Stephen Igo. He's tremendous from Hoist the Colors. If you get a chance, make sure you check that out. It's a great place, a great website, a great place to find out about what's going on with East Carolina and the Pirates, a great message board. You can have a 30-day trial for free, I'm sure, definitely a trial period to see if it's what you like for sure. Had a great time, and as always, we'll be with you every Friday. Upload it to you where you can download the podcast every Friday night. So make sure that you join us next time. Love to have you for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.